Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Good morning. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks this morning, Lord. We thank you for your mighty word. We thank you that you are the good, good Father, Lord. We thank you that you call us your children, and we just praise you this morning. We ask that you open the hearts and the minds of everyone here today, Father God, that they may receive this message of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning. My sermon title today is an encouraging message. I hope all the sermons are an encouraging message. Amen? Amen? All right. And no fluff. But it's going to be encouraging, I promise. Okay? So, here's one that I'm sure you can all relate to. You're in a hurry to get somewhere, okay? And your wife or your girlfriend or your kids, they don't share that same sense of urgency, okay? So there you are. You're waiting at the door or you're waiting in the car, right? And you're waiting for them to get ready to go. And when you're sitting there, what are you experiencing inside? Amen? What are you experiencing inside? Are you peacefully watching the wind blow the flowers as you wait, right? Or are you pulling out the owner's manual out of the glove compartment and checking out some stuff about your vehicle, right? Or are you in a somewhat different frame of mind? Do you find yourself asking, you know, what is more important, being late or the people that you're waiting for? Amen? What's more important, your family or being late? And for me, it's I'm always on time. No, I'm just kidding. But, but you know, if God can watch us, some of us, destroy ourselves, and His creation, and peacefully sit back, amen, then perhaps we can show a little more patience when things aren't going quite the way we wanted them to. Amen? And, you know, you might be amazed at what God gives you when you peacefully wait and don't get stressed out. Amen? When we peacefully wait for things to happen and we trust in God's will and we don't get stressed out, we don't get angry, you'd be amazed at what God can do. Amen? And maybe it's a spiritual opportunity, you know? God works all things for our good, right? It could be that it's a spiritual opportunity that we may not have otherwise had if we weren't in that situation. Amen? Or in that time or whatever the case may be. But so are we steadfast in trusting in God's will for our lives and trusting in God's will for our loved ones? Amen? So just because things don't look right or things aren't going according to our timing, we got to trust in God's timing and we got to trust in God's will. Amen? So, with that, so Paul, in our text today, or text last week, he had to leave Thessalonica in a hurry. Amen? He had to leave in a hurry. And there was a warrant out for his arrest. Okay? There was a warrant out for his arrest. So the people that he was witnessing to told him he needed to leave. Okay? So he's there witnessing to people, trying to start the church, and they tell him, hey, you know, we heard that they're coming to get you. You need to leave. Amen? So when the authorities got to the place where he had been staying at, he was gone. He was already gone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so they arrested a man named Justice that was there with him. Amen. There was a man named Justice there with him. But Paul was long gone. And so Paul had only been there for a little over 2 weeks to minister and to help them build a church, or start the church there in Thessalonica. So this is a very short period of time because Paul was doing this all over the place. Amen. But for Paul and for, you know, to do what he had to do, what he wanted to do, this was a short period of time. Amen? So he was very concerned about their newfound faithfulness. He didn't know how grounded they had been or how much, you know, they had learned while he was there. So he had fled to Athens. And when he was in Athens, he was so concerned about the church in Thessalonica that he told Timothy to go back. He said, Timothy, I want you to go back and check on our new converts and see if they were, you know, ready to flee because of, you know, because of what they what the persecution that they were experiencing. Amen. So he wanted to make sure that they were steadfast in their faith, basically, is what he wanted. So, you see, this was not Paul's first rodeo. Amen? This wasn't the first time. But he knew how these things usually played out. Amen? He knew how they would be persecuted, and he was worried about them. Amen? So, point is, are you standing fast in the Lord as a church? Are you standing fast in the Lord? Amen? This is what this chapter is all about. You might remember in the last chapter, Paul was telling the believers how dear they were to him. Amen? He's telling them how dear you guys are to me. And in today's text, that's the reason that Paul sent Timothy while they were in Athens. He was so anxious to find out how they were doing, and his patience was running thin. Amen? So he sent a messenger. Remember, back then, remember he only had less than 3 weeks to teach the gospel to them. Amen? And he knew they'd be facing persecution because of their new faith. But just like us, Paul was impatient. Paul got impatient. Amen? And they didn't have phones. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have news reports. He had no way of knowing, amen, what was going on there. So they didn't even have the U.S. Postal Service. Amen? So he was going to have to wait till Timothy got back with the message, right? So that's how they got, you know, sort of like the Pony Express, right? He had to wait for people to come back, and I guess they hadn't invented smoke signals yet either, but but he had to wait for him to get back, okay? Amen? So he was going to wait till Timothy got back to find out how they were doing. So it sort of reminded me of, and some of us older people here, might remember, it reminded me of a great movie that me and my dad used to love to watch called Gallipoli. And it was set in World War I where they had no communication with the general and they had to use a running messenger guy to go take the message and to get orders. Amen? What they wanted was permission to stand down because they had this colonel that was telling them that they were getting ready. And every time they sent another wave of soldiers, they would all get mowed down by the machine guns. And they would kill them all. And they knew they were going to die. They knew nobody was going to make it because at this point, nobody would get past the machine guns. So the guy that was running the trenches, he sent the messenger to go get permission from the general to stand down. Because the colonel didn't care. The colonel's like, you guys are going. Okay? So in the movie, a young Mel Gibson, okay, is running as fast as he can to save the lives of his men. Amen? He's running as fast as he can. And I believe that Paul's doing the same thing here. Amen? Paul is sending his messenger hoping that he can save not just their lives, but their eternal lives. Amen? And that's what makes this so much greater, is that he's trying to save their eternal lives. And, you know, Paul wanted to know if the ministry that he had taught them had taken root in their lives. He wanted to make sure that they were standing fast in their faith. Amen? And whether they changed because of his teaching and whether they were steadfast under persecution, that's what he wanted to know. But notice also in verses 2 through 4, it says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. So even if Paul couldn't be there, he wanted to strengthen them in their faith so that they would not be shaken by those that were going to persecute them. Amen? So in verse 3, he says to them, you know quite well, we are destined for trial and persecution. And I always tell people, you know, the devil attacks the faithful. And they say, you know, why is the devil attacking me? I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm doing all the right things. why does the devil keep attacking me? And I said, you know, the devil attacks the faithful. He already has the unfaithful. Amen? He already has the lost. He wants to attack us. He wants our souls. Amen? Amen? John 15 through 18 says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. This is Jesus. Amen? The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. The world's never going to like us if we're living for Jesus. Amen? The world's not going to like us. Now, if we compromise our faith, we might get along with the world for a little while. Amen? They might let us, you know, sit in with them and hang out with them. Amen? But the Lord doesn't like lukewarm, right? The Lord doesn't want just half of us. He wants all of us. Amen? And so, there's a cartoon that puts persecution in perspective today. And it's in the four panels, we see people praying. Okay? And I couldn't find a picture of it, but I'm going to tell you about it. So, the first one is, the first panel is New Testament Christian. Amen? Which is in Jesus' time, okay? In Jesus' time. And he says, Lord, give me the courage to face this accusing mob. Amen? And then the second window says, is a Reformation Christian during Martin Luther's time. Amen? And he says, Lord, help me declare your truth despite the cost. Amen? And the third one is a 20th century believer from the Soviet Russia, when they were communist, Soviet Russia. And he says, Lord, may we preserve faithfully under these burdens. Amen? And then finally, the last window is today's American Christian. Amen? And it says, Lord, where is it at? The Audi's been running rough lately. So, you know, we got it so rough here in America. Amen? We got it so rough here in America today. So this may be true for every American Christian today, that we don't have it so rough. Amen? But for how much longer? For how much longer are we not going to have it rough here in America? How much longer before we're persecuted even in our own homes, in our churches? Amen? You know, I got a picture. This is a Canadian pastor that was defending his church and they arrested him. The one Pastor Rick's talked about quite a few times. And what was his name again, Pastor? Pulowski, yeah. So he was just defending his church and he did a great job of it and then they ended up arresting him. Amen? And but this is what it's coming to. Amen? And unfortunately, this is probably what we got to look forward to, but Maranatha. Amen? Amen! So this is how most of the world is now. Okay? Most of the world. We are so blessed here. And this is how Paul saw Thessalonica at the time. Amen? This is what he was worried about. And he was worried for his brothers and sisters in Christ. So he sent Timothy not only to get a report of how they were doing, but to also strengthen them, encourage them, and establish them in their faith. Because he knew they were going to have to face persecution. So this is why it's so important for us to be here on Wednesdays, on Sundays, maybe even on Tuesdays. Amen? And, you know, so we can be established in our faith when the time of persecution comes against us. Wherever that may be and however that may be, it could be anywhere at any time. Amen? And when we stay in the Word, we can stand firm in our faith. Amen? So, we don't want to worry about what we can't do. We want to know what God can do. Amen? That's what we need and that's what we want. When we are truly established in our faith and we look at the world with kingdom eyes, we can't be moved. Amen? We can't be moved. And another way of looking at it, at how we're established in our faith, is to trust in God's will. To trust in God's will. A man named Rick Perry, believe it or not, his name's Rick Perry. He said, faith at its heart is about trust. It's one thing to believe in God, but it's quite something else to trust Him with our lives. We all want a deeper relationship built on trust. Amen? And where have I heard that before? It's all about a relationship, Pastor. Amen? It's all about a relationship. And that was kind of our theme with the revival, too. You know, I said that in my message, and everybody kind of picked it up. I don't know. All of our messages, by the way, just kept intertwining with each other through verses and everything. But that was part of our message, was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we're all relational beings. We're all called to be in community with each other. Not only with the body of Christ, but also with Christ Himself. That's what we were created for. Amen? That's what we were created for. And then verse 5 says, for this reason, which I could stand it, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Now this is a very important verse that we should pay attention to and understand. Because Paul's trying to tell us something that Jesus was telling us in the parable of the sower. Amen? And that is that it's possible to share the gospel and do the work of sowing the seed and not see a benefit at all. Amen? It's very possible for us to do that and not see a benefit. At least not right away. Amen? Sometimes we scatter the seeds, right? Everybody knows the parable. We scatter the seeds and they fall along the path and the birds eat them up. Amen? Or they fall along the path, or some are scorched and withered because the soil is shallow, right? Some are scorched and withered, or others fall along the thorns, and it's choked out by the thorns. Amen. And then there's those seeds that are planted in the good soil. Amen. And that's why we keep sowing the seeds, because there's always going to be seeds that are planted in the good soil, and they produce fruit. Amen. Fruit. And this fruit is what reminds us that our labor is never in vain when we are witnessing to others in our lives. Amen? It's never in vain for us to witness to others. Paul just wanted to be sure that this brief time that he had to preach to them had produced fruit in their lives. That's what he wanted. And, you know, it was only a little over 2 weeks. It could take some of us 20 years. Amen? And these people only had a little over 2 weeks, so he was definitely worried. Amen? And the next verses he says, but Timothy had just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Amen. And Calvin wrote that all pastors are reminded by this, of the kind of a relationship which ought to exist between them and the church. When things go well with the church, they are to count themselves happy, even though in other respects, they are surrounded by much distress. On the other hand, however, if they, the pastors, see the church building, which they have constructed, falling down, they are to die of grief and sorrow, even though, in other respects, there is good success and prosperity. The Good Shepherd, amen? Right? The Good Shepherd. You see, Paul was greatly encouraged that they longed to see him as much as he longed to see them. They had established a love for each other through the teaching of the gospel. Despite all the things he suffered, he was still encouraged by the good news from Timothy about his brethren that was in Thessalonica. Amen? Now, I believe that this kind of news and reports that used to keep Paul going, you would probably say things like, you know, yes, let's move on to the next city, right? When he heard these kind of reports, he'd be like, yes, we did it. Let's move on to the next city. He'd say things like, this is well worth the persecution we've been facing. Amen? And that's what kept Paul going. It was all worth it to him. And as a pastor, we can relate. Amen? As a pastor, we can relate. We love hearing how God's Word impacts everyone's heart. Amen? We love to hear that. And it encourages us that God has encouraged you. Amen? It encourages us that God has encouraged you. So, and one of the best ways to encourage your pastors, amen, is to share the good stuff with us. Right, Pastor? Amen? Not just the bad stuff. We hear a lot of the bad stuff. Amen? We hear a lot of the bad stuff, but we love to hear the victory stories as well. We love to hear the victory stories and the stories of prayers answered. That is our food. That is our blessed assurance that keeps us going. Amen? When we hear the victory stories of your lives. And amen. And we also want to hear about the growth in your spiritual life. We love to hear when you tell us about the growth in your spiritual life as well. It's what keeps us going in the ministry. And this is what kept Paul going as well. Amen? This is what kept Paul going through all the things he suffered. Amen? And some of the things Paul suffered, if some of you don't know, in all labors more abundant, meaning that he was a slave at times, amen? In stripes above measure, he was flogged, amen? In prisons more frequently, how many times was he in prison, right? Writing the epistles while in prison, amen? Faced death often, we know he faced death often. From the Jews, 5 times, received 40 stripes minus one. Sometimes one time would kill people, right? And he received it 5 times. Amen? 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked in the ocean. Really? Amen? A night and a day he spent in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles that he was witnessing to. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, everywhere he went. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, in hunger and thirst, in often fastings, in cold and nakedness. And besides all these, what concerned him the most was all of his church plants. He wasn't concerned for himself. He was concerned for the church plants. Amen? And he was worried about how well his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ were doing in their faith. And when he received these good messages, that's what kept him going through all this persecution. And still Paul rejoiced in his sufferings because of these reports. Amen? Still he rejoiced. Verses 9 and 10 say that, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply you with what is lacking in your faith. Notice at the end of verse 10 it says, and supply you what is lacking in your faith. What do you think he means by that? Supply you what is lacking in your faith. Sounds a lot like it sounds, or sort of sounds like an insult, right? He's like telling them that you guys are short on faith, and you know I'm going to come out and supply it for you. But it's not. That's not what he's saying. He's just referring to the difference of the faith between a new believer and someone that's steadfast in their faith, someone that's been in their faith for a long time. Amen? And, of course, there's going to be a lack of faith in a new believer, right? New believers are new believers. They got a lack of faith. And he was only with them for a short time, right? So we know they're all new believers. And Paul just wanted to make sure that their faith was strengthened, and he wanted to do that through teaching and praying, and that he could be with them again. So he kept praying to God, can I please make it possible for me to be with them again. So Paul was always praying. Paul was always praying. He was probably one of the greatest prayer warriors ever for the gospel. Amen. Paul was always in prayer. I think I got a slide of him praying coming up here. The next two chapters of this book are going to go into detail of how Paul begins to fill in the gaps of their faith. Amen? And it will be some instruction for us as well. Amen? About how we fill in our gaps. Amen? John Maxwell writes in his book, Partners in Prayer. Partners in Prayer. In the summer of 1876, grasshoppers nearly destroyed the crops in, how do you say it? Minnesota? Is that how you say it? Minnesota? Minnesota. Okay, so the grasshoppers nearly destroyed the crops in Minnesota. So in the spring of 1877, farmers were worried. They believed that the dreadful plague would once again visit them and destroy the rich wheat crops, bringing ruin to thousands of people. The situation was so serious that Governor John S. Pillsbury proclaimed April 26 as a day of prayer and fasting. And he urged every man, every woman, and every child to ask God to prevent this terrible scourge. On that April day, all schools, all shops, and all stores and offices were closed. There was a reverent, quiet hush over the whole state. The next day dawned bright and clear. Temperatures soared to what they ordinarily were in midsummer, which was very unusual for April. Minnesotans were devastated as they discovered billions of grasshopper larvae wiggling to life. For 3 days, the unusual heat persisted and the larvae hatched. It appeared that it wouldn't be long before they started feeding and destroying on their wheat crop. Amen? So, on the fourth day, however, the temperature suddenly dropped. Amen? Suddenly dropped, and that night, frost covered the entire state. Frost covered the entire state, and what was the result? It killed every one of those creeping, crawling pests as sure as poison or fire had been used on it. Amen? It killed them all. And it went down in the history of Minnesota as the day God answered the prayers of the people. The day God answered the prayers of the people. And that's the power of prayer. And that is an awesome story, but understand it's not the first and certainly was not the last time that the Almighty God answered the prayers of the people. Amen? But that is what prayer can do. Amen? And just like Paul, you know, God will answer our prayers too if we pray in His will. Paul prayed in God's will, and we should do the same. Amen? So Paul ends this chapter with a prayer that starts in verse 11, and it says, Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. The first thing he prays is that God makes a way for him to get back to Thessalonica to be with his brethren and to teach them and encourage them in the faith. I love to pray that God makes a way where there is no way. I pray that quite often. Amen. And if you're going through something in this world and it seems like there's no way out for you, remember, nothing's impossible for our God. Amen. Nothing is impossible for our God. And we are never too far gone. Never too far gone for our God. Amen. In verse 12, he then prays for them. He says, May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Now, is he praying that they increase in their hope, in their joy, in their peace? No, he says, May they increase and overflow in their love for each other and for everyone else. And this love, again, is what kind of love? What kind of love are they talking about? Agape love, right? Agape love. Is it brotherly? No, it's agape love. And our ability to increase in agape love only comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's how we receive and learn agape love, is through the Holy Spirit. Now, this love is not something that we have to work at or force ourselves to fill. It's a gift from God, and all we have to do is receive it. Amen? All we have to do is receive it. And that is why Paul is praying that God bestows this love upon them so that they may receive that agape love and be encouraged by it and show it to each other. Amen? Brothers and sisters, if there's somebody in your life whom you've had a hard time loving, and I think we all have some person or some people that we have a hard time loving. Amen? And if that is you, stop stressing and stop feeling guilty about it. Amen? And come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you give me the gift of agape love for these people or for this person? Amen? The Lord will give that to you. The Lord will bring peace to you when you ask Him that. Because that kind of love is not natural for us. It's supernatural. Amen? That kind of love, agape love, is supernatural. So let God turn your natural into supernatural. Amen? Let God turn your natural into supernatural. This kind of love that we all struggle with naturally, it always comes from the Holy Spirit. All God needs from us is a willingness to yield to Him and to receive that love. Amen? Isn't it amazing that God has given us the free will to not only yield to that love, but to block it? That's what free will is. We got the choice. We make the choice. Do we want to receive that will, or do we want to block it? Amen? If we don't like someone, we can just hate on them forever, right? It will make us miserable. It'll stress us out. It'll affect our physical and spiritual health. Amen? It sounds like fun, doesn't it? But at least we don't have to love them, right? At least we don't have to love them. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 4. He said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we insist on serving our flesh instead of God, that is grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen? We serve a good God. We don't need to serve ourselves. Amen? God wants us to yield to the Holy Spirit so that we may receive the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But in order to do this, we must set aside our anger and excuses for that dislike and say, Jesus, I give up my fleshly rights and yield to the Holy Spirit that is in me. Who do we want to please more? Do we want to please ourselves more, or do we want to please Jesus more? That's the question. Amen? Who is our idol? Amen? Who's our American idol? Amen? We should want to please our Savior for all He's done for us. We owe Him at least that much. Amen? For all He's done for us. Then Paul ends the chapter by telling us what comes from this agape love. He says, may He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of His holy ones. So he's saying that when we yield to the Spirit and exercise agape love towards others, we enter into a place where our hearts become blameless. Amen? Our hearts become blameless. Now this doesn't make us perfect. There's only one perfect. Amen? But we are blameless when we repent and we practice agape love to everyone else. But remember, we got to do this daily. Amen? We got to repent daily. We got to give thanks daily. When we love those who have hurt us, we are set apart from the world. Amen? When we love those who hate us, we stand out in a crowd. When we love those who deny us, we are acting as Christians, right? And they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen? They will know we are Christians by our love. Now this is the point Paul's trying to make. As representatives of Christ, we are called to love our enemies. Like what? We're called to love our enemies. This is so contrary to the world. Amen? The world says, no way, I'm not loving my enemies. It's so sad to see the direction that this world is leading into. But Paul did warn us in 2 Timothy, says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is this the last days? Amen. Does all that sound familiar to you? Because I see a lot of these traits in a lot of people today. But we as Christians are called to be different. We're called to stand out. We want people to know we are Christians by the love that we show to everyone. Amen? So remember, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Amen? Let's be that few. Amen? Let's be that few. Maranatha? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for your mighty word, Lord. We give thanks that we are Christians because of the agape love that you have shown us, given us, instilled in us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that we can worship freely here in America, Father. We thank you for the strength and the peace and the joy that you give us each and every day, Father. May you continue to bless us all. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.